Simuk of Samach, we're at Sif Yud Dalid, and I'd like to give a little bit of a hakdama, although I already did 2 weeks ago, to Sif Yud Gimel Yud Dalid Tezvav. We find in numerous places in Halacha, in Chayshim Mishpat and in Kiddushin and here in Rivis, two concepts that go together. One is called Din Ariv and one is called Din Eved Kanani. And what it means is the following. A typical business deal involves a person who pays and a person who receives payment. There's the person giving the money and the person receiving the money. That's true about business. That's true about Kiddushin. The one who gives is the man. The one who receives typically is the woman. And there's a giver and a receiver. And in Ribbis also, there is the person who's giving and the person who's receiving. Giving the loan is the malva, giving the ribbis is the loiva, receiving is the opposite. In Chayshim Mishpat, there's a concept of din ariv, and there's a concept of din eved kanani. Din ariv means if I would like to sell you a piece of real estate. So to sell real estate, kesef is kaina. If you give me money, you're kaina. So again, typically, there's the buyer who gives the money and the seller who receives the money. If I say, instead of giving me the money, give the money to someone else. I'll sell you my real estate, but give the money to my friend or give the money to my child. Give the money to someone else. And I don't actually make a kinyan on the money. So you go and you do as I said. You give the money to a third party. So I would think that that's not a kinyan. The kinyan has to be from buyer to seller. The concept of din ariv is a concept that even if the person taking the money is someone else who I've designated, that also could tu'ayf a kinyan. That also could work as if I received it. The third party who I designated is as if I received it, and it works. And that extends to kiddushin. If a man is about to give his wife a ring, and he was ready to say Ayat Mukadeshously, and she says, you know what, instead of giving me the ring, give the ring, she says to my mother, you know you're in trouble, but she says, I have a friend who needs money, instead of giving me a ring, give my friend the money, and with that I'll be married to you. And the man says, Ayat Mukadeshously, with this tabas, with this money which I'm giving a third party. So it works, as long as she designated the third party and she agreed to it. So that's called din ariv. Din ariv is that the person receiving the money could be a third party, as long as it's designated and agreed to. And that works as if the receiver received the money. Okay, that's din ariv. What? Well, it depends on what the context of the particular arrangement you're talking about is. I can buy something and sell it again, but if I want to be kainit, I have to be kainit. So I could be kainit by having the kinyan happen to a third party. So that would work. That's called din ariv. Din eved kanani is the reverse. Instead of the receiver being a third party, the giver is a third party. I want to buy real estate from you, and we have an agreement, and I don't have the money. Now, of course, I can get the money from someone, and I could give it to you, and that would be perfect. Din Eved Kanani says that even if I'm not there, b'shas ma'is, I'm not the one giving the money, a third party gives the money, as long as it was designated by me, and it was agreed to by the two of us, if a third party gives the money, it's just as good a kinyan as if I gave the money. Okay, that's the din of Din Eved Kanani. The source for this is the fact that an Eved Kanani could go out with Giroin Kesef. The Torah says that an Eved Kanani could go free if someone redeems him, if he pays and buys himself free. An Eved Kanani can't own money. Kol Mashe Kona Eved Kona Rabbi. An Eved Kanani doesn't have money. How does he go free? So it means that a third party gives the money on his behalf. That's called Din Eved Kanani. A third person gives in his place. Okay, so you have Din Ariv and Din Eved Kanani. It's complicated. If you do business deals, not so complicated, right? Din Ariv is that instead of the normal receiver receiving, someone else receives. Din Eved Kanani, instead of the normal giver giving, someone else gives. Then, to make it a little more complicated, there's a third thing called Din Shnehem. We have a business deal which involves both Oriv and Eved Kenani. As I agree to buy a field from you, and I say, you know something, I don't have the money, someone else is going to give the money on my behalf, and you agree. And you say, you know, I don't need the money, give the money to a third party on my behalf. And I'm not talking about shlichus, the person receiving it is going to keep it. I'm not talking about shlichus shalom kabaisai, the one receiving is going to keep it. So that's called din shneihem, where the giver is not the buyer, and the receiver is not the seller, but both parties agreed to let a third party stand each one in his place. That's called din shneihem. And din shneihem also works. If din arv works, and din arv kanani works, so din shneihem works as well. These are the three arrangements which are always, wherever it's brought in halacha, whether in Chayshim Mishpat or in Evan Ezer, and the rules are stipulated, they always go together. Din Arev, Din Eved Kenani, Din Shneihem. The Gemara Kedushin brings a case of Din Arev, Din Eved Kenani, Din Shneihem. It goes in that order. Sif Yud Gimel Yedalin and Tezvav are ribbis cases of Din Arev, Din Eved Kenani, Din Shneihem. Although the halacha by ribbis is going to be slightly different in the case of Arev and the Din of Eved Kenani. Sif Yud Gimel, which we've learned, is the kula that if when I'm paying ribbis, instead of me giving the ribbis, a third party gives the ribbis, there's a third party paying ribbis in my place, so I'm not the one who normally is the giver is not giving, that would be I guess the equivalent of Din Eved Kenani, the third party giving in my place, in Hilchis Ribbis that's a heter. It's mutter in ribbis to have a third party giving the money, although the Yeshayim held that the Leiva can't make the arrangement, someone else has to make the arrangement, but that was a kula in Hilchis Ribbis, that a third party could pay the Ribbis. So if Yedalid, which we're about to learn, is Din Ariv, is the reverse case, where I tell somebody, I'll lend you money, when you pay the Ribbis, instead of paying the Ribbis to me, pay the Ribbis to someone else. Give the Ribbis to someone else. It's a very common case in business. People do a business deal and they say, I'm entitled to interest, but I'm not taking the interest. So give the interest to tzedakah. Give the interest to a third party. Now that is not a heter. That's what we're going to learn now. That the din of din ariv is not a heter by Hilchis Ribbis. Okay, that if I'm lending you money and I'm saying instead of giving me the money, give the money to someone else, so that's awesome. Let's see if you doubt it. Asa leimer elvacha mana al menashe tite zuz lepleini. It's also to say, I'll lend you money. Ach, hasa shalom, I would never take ribbis. But give the money that you would have given me. Instead of giving it to me, give it to pleini. The Ramah is oila hegdish, or even to tzedakah, or to hegdish. So I say, instead of giving the money to me, give it elsewhere. Afilu im I say Pliny why the kechavim. Even if I say give it to Pliny and he's a guy. And afal pishe nechayev lai. And I'm not saying give it to him, I owe him money, pay my chayev. No. Just give it to him. That's also veribis ksutzahi. And it's ribis deiraisa. And it's also minatayra. Vein chilik bein oma hamalvakach oyoma halayva me'atzmai kachlu v'hu malvaloi mishum zeh. Wherever the arrangement is done based on this, so this is something that's aser. So again, it's a common misconception that instead of giving me the ribbis, ribbis only aser malayva l'malva, so give it to someone else. So the answer is no. The din arif says that if you give it to someone else, it's as if you gave it to the malva. And in Mela, there is a problem. The Shach Yutes, interesting psak. We learned the ribbis ktsutza, you have to return. So picture the case now. I lend you money on the condition you give $1,000 to tzedakah. And it happened. I lent you the money, you gave $1,000 to tzedakah. It's ribbis deiraisa. You have to return it. Who has to return it? The tzedakah? or the lamedus is no. It's as if the malva got it. Tzedakah didn't lend money. Tzedakah got a check in the mail and they deposited it. They have nothing to do with it. So the Shach says, "Ribis ktsutzi umafkinan minei ubemardechai sham the mitzia mi malva." That the one who has to give the money is the malva. Kiva and the iu aisvei. He's the one who did the loan, who arranged it. The whole concept of Din Arev is that's as if he received the money. It went to the person he designated. So Mimela, the Shach says that the one who has to give it back is the Malva, the one who made the arrangement. It's as if he made the payment, and therefore it's what?
It's
like he took it and gave it away.
And now he has
to pay. What makes it up is the fact that the contractual closing the loan decides to give the money back in your name. That's not helpful.
Right. The problem is that it's the Malva's designee. That's the problem.
Is it the knas on the Malva, or just what is the punishment on the Malva to pay the
fine? Well, Rivistai Reis, you have to return. You always have to return Rivistai Reis.
Are we talking here just a strict rivis, you know, loan interest, etc., as opposed to what we spoke, Russ spoke about a few weeks ago?
Mekachu Memkar, I mean.
Yeah.
It will be Mekachu Memkar if it's a business deal, and I'm selling you my house. I'm telling you, okay, I'll give you 6 months to pay for the house. I'll spread the payments over a year. And then I tell you, it's rivis, I can't take it. Give it to tzedakah. That would be rivis derabanan. That would be a case of ribis, which is ribis derabanan, because it's terech mekach umemka, it's payment for something, and maisa would probably be also. I'll tell you. I'll let me answer. It's certainly also to a third party. The question is for tzedakah. Okay, there's an issue, the following issue. Let's say someone was going around for tzedakah. Someone comes over to you in shul, and he says, you know, I'm collecting for Tachnasas Kala, I'm collecting for someone. Please give me. You say, you know something? I'm still Shabbistic. This is Wednesday morning. And I'm still saying, I don't have money on me. I happen not to have any money on me. So the fellow says, you know what? I'll lend you the money. I'm going to give this Carlo or whatever it is the money. I'll lend you the money. Tell me how much you want to give, and I'll lay it out for you. Is that mutter? It would seem technically to be a problem. I'm lending you $100. I'll tell you what a ribbis is. I'm lending you $100 on the condition that later you repay the loan to me. You give me the $100, and you give the $100 to tzedakah. In other words, what's really, you're going to be out the $100. I'm not saying I'll lend you $100 and you give it to tzedakah. Now we're even. Right, I walk. I have $100 in my pocket. And I tell you, you know, I need money for tzedakah. You say, I'd love to give you that money. So I tell you, I'll lend you the $100 on the condition that you give $100 to tzedakah. That's what I'm saying. Here, I'll lend you $100. Here it is. But I'm only lending it to you on the condition you give $100 to tzedakah. So I give you the $100. You give it back to me to tzedakah, and then tomorrow you have to repay the loan to me, the $100. Right. So really, I'm giving you $100, and you're giving me $200. I'm giving you $100 in the loan. You're giving me $100 to tzedakah and $100 that you're going to be paid a loan. Right? Now what's happening? That's exactly this case of dinar. I'm lending you $100 on the condition you give a donation to tzedakah. Am I allowed to do that? Here, I'll lend you $100, but you have to give, besides paying me back $100, you also have to give $100 to tzedakah. Isn't that this case? What? You're going to be out $100 when the sun sets at the end of the day. I'm not going to be out a penny. I'm lending you the money. I did lend him the $100. Sure I did. I laid out money. I paid his bill for him. I lent him $100. I didn't give it. He gave it. Whose nice money does it go off of? Who gave the tzedakah? Whose credit is giving the tzedakah? If I tell you, you want to give $100, I'll lend you $100, give it to tzedakah. So you're the one giving it. You're going to repay me the $100. My wallet has $100 in it. It'll have the same $100 when this deal is over. You're going to be out the $100 that you gave to tzedakah. So you repaid my loan of $100, and in addition, you gave $100 to tzedakah. The $100 I lent you, you gave to tzedakah. Plus, you're going to give me $100 out of your bank account. You're going to return to me.
He gave him the $100.
I'm lending you. I'm collecting for something.
No.
It's me and you. I'm the collector and you're the donor. I'm giving you, I'm saying, can you give me $100? You say, I don't have. I say, I'll lend you $100. Here it is. I take from my wallet. I'm giving you $100. Sure, I gave you. If you tell me. See, I got news for you. You know what? Next time we're in the grocery and I'm buying, I'll say, David, do me a favor. Pay my bill. And then later you'll say, okay, give me back my money. I'll say, you didn't lend me any money. I just paid your bill. I didn't give you any money.
Yeah.
I lent you money. I paid your bill. You're saying you want to give $100,000 to tzedakah. You just don't have the money. So I'm saying, fine, I'll give the $100,000 to tzedakah. Let's say the ani is standing here. Me, you, and the ani. I say, the ani needs money. So you say, I have no money. So you say, okay, here's $100,000. Give it to the ani. So you take the $100, you give it to the ani. And now, tomorrow, you give me back my $100 loan. I lent you money on the condition you give it to the ani. Isn't it? What am I telling you? I'll lend you $100,000. So you'll say, yeah, lend me the $100,000, but I'm not giving it to the ani. I think.
Much payment is ani, I'm a loan. Excuse me, much payment is easier. I'm in the shul, and an ani comes up to me and says, I need tzedakah, and I don't have money. And I turn to somebody, a generous rogue, and I say, would you please lend me money so I can get tzedakah? Now,
so that's no problem, because when you turn to me, you ask me for $100, I don't care if you're going to give it to tzedakah or you have to go to a grocery. You're asking me for a favor to lend you money. If it doesn't matter to me what you're going to do with it, that's fine. But in the case where a man is going around collecting, generally he's only lending the money because he's going to give it to tzedakah. He's not looking to lend you money to give it to the grocery. It's usually a person who's collecting the money. He's lending him the money on the understanding that he's going to give it to tzedakah. You can't
give it to collector's condition on giving
it to tzedakah. No, but he's giving it to the third party.
Yeah, I'm saying where it's understood. I didn't say almanos with a tzedakah kafel, but it's understood. I'm giving you $100. Should give it to tzedakah. I may not even be handing you $100. I'm saying I'll lay out $100 for you to the tzedakah. I'm talking in a place where that's the common. It's a very common, so common, but it's a little common.
He's really borrowing it because he wants to give it. He's not just borrowing it. And he pays the price of giving it to the collector. He's borrowing because he wants to give it to the
collector. All right, so this question is in the Bris Yehuda. He brings it down, I think, from a... it is a Birkei Yosef at the end of Simchos Samach Aleph who says the Lechayrit Aser. And then he says at the end something like that they are tzedadim lahatir. So Bris Yehuda says two possible heterim. It's a big nafkamina between them. One heter, he says, is that the person wants to give the tzedakah anyway. He wants to give the tzedakah anyway. He's not giving the tzedakah because I'm lending him the money. He would like to give the tzedakah anyhow. So he's not doing it in exchange for me lending him, he's giving. He would like to give it anyhow. If that's the case, so that could be an explanation of a heter, like you're saying. Now that heter is only true if he really would like to give the money. Sometimes he's sort of stuck. You know, his friend is coming over to him, so he has to give. He doesn't want to give it. But if it's such a situation, that's one heter. He has a second interesting heter, which comes back to what someone asked me in the beginning. The second suffix of the Bris Yehuda is there's a din that an interesting heter later that ribis derabbanan is mutter for tzedakah. For tzedakah purposes, ribis derabbanan, Chazal did not say ribis derabbanan. The Yehuda has a tshuva. He writes, someone asked him if he could be samech on that heter. He writes, kach ani oise b'mois yisoymim shenunu biyadi. He says, I very often have yisoymim's money, and I have to manage their money, and I do loans where the principal is guaranteed, which is ribis, but not the interest. The interest is guaranteed, that's ribis deraisa. But the principal is guaranteed, there's a personal guarantee on the principal, not on the interest, which is ribis derabbanan. He says, kach ani oise tamid with the mam yisoymim shabiyadi. And that Leid Bihuda like is the thing that Lamaisi could be Saimach Ribis Drabbanan for Tzedakah is Mutter. So the Bris Yehuda says that if I give you the money, I don't say Almanas. It's understood, I'm collecting. And I give you the $100 that you should give it to Tzedakah. But I didn't speak out any Tanai, I didn't say Almanas. I said, if you want, I'll lend you the money to give to Tzedakah. And I give you the $100. Now, at that moment, after I gave you the $100, you say, thanks for the loan, but you know, I don't want to give Tzedakah. Would you be legally entitled to do that? If you would be legally entitled to do that, if it's not considered an umdin of almanas, he says, then that would be a heter. That would make a ribis derabbanan. It's not ketsutza, and then it would be mutter. But he's mesupik if it's so. if you could really do that, I'm letting you get $100 to give it to an army, I give you the 100, you say thanks, I have to go to the grocery anyway, and you don't want to give it, whether there's such a heter. So he says that may be a second possibility, the heter of the Birkei Isis. And Lamaisa, he has this more as a limit schus. It seems that the pashtus is that it's aser, that it's a case of this sif, and that it's aser. These are two possible limudei schus. Certainly, the person really wanted to give the tzedakah anyway, so then you have the first heter. But very often, the person doesn't want to give it; he just feels obligated, and then it would be somewhat problematic. Yes.
They are giving money out on your behalf based on your pledge.
So they're laying out the money based on your pledge. It's generally not that way, even if they say it is. But
again, you're pledging. You're pledging.
It'll be the same thing.
Regardless.
I'm pledging it.
If they pledge it, I'll give it.
No, if they say we're going to give it, it's. See, there you don't have so much of a problem. Usually the person is calling them and asking them because he wants to give them Matana Slav Yainim. So you have the first heter. He's not giving it in exchange for a loan. He wants to give it, so they're doing a favor and laying out the money. The problem is only a problem where you really don't want to give it. You don't desire to give it. You're only giving it because you're stuck. That's where the problem would be. So in such a case, it may be a problem. I mean,
you use this heter. People use this heter every day. People get stuck through credit cards. So they tell the credit card company to pay the yeshiva, and then they get paid the bill later.
Yeah, but the credit card company is not doing it on the nus that you give money to tzedakah. The credit card company doesn't care why you're borrowing the money. In my case, it's only a problem. So I could give it to tzedakah, right? Yeah, but the credit card company really doesn't care if you're giving it to them in exchange for merchandise or if you're giving it to them as a donation. They really couldn't care less. So that's why it's not a problem. The only time it's a problem is when the lender is doing it al menos that you give it to tzedakah. That's the case of Sifyudalin, where I lend you money on the condition you give a gift to someone. That's where it's a problem. The credit card company, they really don't care if you give a gift or you don't give a gift. They'll lend you money for whatever you want to use it.
Is this similar to the case of Ani Yehovah, if you give me a loan later?
No, it's worse, because here there's a gift. Here there was a question, because there's no loss. Here there's a gift. It's a separate issue. The Rebbe Kivager, in the bottom line, brings another case, which maybe it's Pashit, but it's here you have a place you could show someone. It says, Afilu Laime Alvecha Kuf. I'll lend you $100. V'titen kuf beis lahegdish. Is that a beis or a chaf? The halacha is the same. It's a beis. V'titen kuf beis lahegdish. I'm lending you $100. You don't have to give it back to me. Just give $102 to tzedakah. So that's also aser. You could say, what do you mean? I'm not a lender. I'm just giving you the money. So no, you are a lender, because it's a financial obligation that he's mekabel on himself to pay someone else. So that's also aser.
Well, that would be the same thing. Pay me back
the 100
and just pay
suit
and give
suit
to
Hagdish. Pay me back. Yeah. Well, here you might think it's better because I'm not saying pay me back anything. I'm saying give the whole thing to Hagdish.
So. That's a case of Dinar.
That's a case of Dinar, right?
What? Well, you give someone $100, I give you $102 to Hagdish.
Yeah, sure. Because I'm giving you $100 and you're giving back a financial obligation of $100, $102. So, you're going to give it to someone else. So. Yeah, sure, it's a Perayin Alva. Where does the obligation come from? It comes from there. No, it's us at Dinarv, it's us here. That's what we're saying. This din is us here. Pisgei Tshuva Yud is a bit long. I'm not going to go through it inside just because of time constraints. But the heter that's here is an interesting heter. He mentions that you're allowed to pay someone to guarantee your loan. Let's say I need a loan. I need a guarantor. So I go over to someone. I say, be my guarantor. He says, it's a certain amount of risk, and I don't want to. So I say, you know what, I'll pay you to be my guarantor. I'm taking a $1,000 loan. Obviously, if I'll pay you $1,000, I wouldn't do it. But so I'll pay you $100 to guarantee my $1,000 loan. So loan insurance. Yeah, so like loan insurance. So he says that it's mutter. There's no iser to pay someone to be an arif, because it's a service. He's providing a service for you, and that service is mutter. The arif is not the lender. There's Reuven is borrowing from Shimon, and Reuven goes and he gets the arif to guarantee his loan. So that's not aser. Although in dinei arif you can argue, because the halacha is once the arif pays, if it ever happens that the arif pays, then the arif becomes the malva. Right at the end of the line, if the arif pays instead of Reuven, then the arif puts on the shoes of the malva. Oh, now the arif is the malva. No, once he pays. Okay, Reuven borrows from Shimon, and a year later the Arif pays Shimon. Now Arif steps into the clothing, so to speak, of Shimon. He becomes the Malva, and it turns out he was paid to become a Malva. So the Hef is based on the fact that he's not being paid to be a Malva. If he thinks he'll end up being a Malva, he's not going to do it for $100 either. Generally an Arif thinks that he'll never have to pay. It's one of the sad things about being an Arif. Gemach loans, they tell someone to be an Arif, he signs, and you know, a year later you go to him, he says, I never meant Elvis all the time, I never meant to pay. You know, I just meant to say he's a nice guy, he'll pay you back. So I've had situations with Gemachs and where somebody's borrowing that I know will not be, Bederach HaTeva will not be able to pay. And he has a guarantor. So I tell the person in charge, just call the person and tell him he should please give you a head check. You know, a head check, because you plan to cash his check at the end of the time. Because generally, people co-sign Gemach loans. In their mind, it's, you know, it's just being a nice guy. All right, I'll sign. And very often they end up paying. But Lamaisa, if you pay an Arif to co-sign, the Arif is taka, in his mind, he's not going to pay. In his mind, there's a chance, but he's the... And therefore, being paid to be an Arif, the Pesach Tshuva says, is something that's mutter. So that's if you dial it. So you gimel, you dial it. Again, if your gimel was someone else could pay the ribbis for the malva, a heter. If your gimel is a big heter, the heter we discussed already a couple of times, that I could pay someone to lend my son money with the three conditions that we had, but I could pay someone to lend money to someone else, that the person giving the ribbis is a third party, it's mutter. It's if you dial it, if the person receiving the ribbis is a third party, that's awesome. If I lend you money that someone else should receive the ribbis, that's awesome. Siftes Vav, if you're not confused yet, is Din Shneihem. Is we have the two cases together. There's a malva and a laiva, but the ribbis will not come from the laiva, and it will not go to the malva. It's going to be given by a third party to a fourth party. Let's see how this works. Yesh Ayver. Now, okay, let me, before I do this, the typical case would be, I lend you money, and really I'd like to have interest, but I can't. The Torah says I can't have interest. So I'm ready to lend you money. So one of your friends is here, he's trying to convince me to lend you the money. He says, you know what? Lend him the money. Instead of, if you lend him the money, I'll give your son a gift. That'll be a typical, that'll be a clean case of Din Shneihem. I'm lending you money on the condition that your friend gives my son a gift. So the ribbis is going from someone who's standing in the place of the laiva, and it's going to someone who's standing in place of the malva. No one's a shliach. The giver is giving from his own money. The receiver is receiving and he's keeping it. And that would be a clean case of Din Shneihem. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch here has a variation of Din Shneihem, which maybe is a little more typical. And the case, now first of all, what should be the din? What would you think the din is in such a case? If I tell you, I'll lend you money on the condition that your friend gives money to my son. Okay, that would be Din Shneihem. Now technically, Din Shneihem should only be Aser if each of the two is Aser. It's like a chain. You have Din Arev and Din Eved Kenani. Now, if both of those are Aser, so then Din Shneihem together is also Aser. If one of those is mutter, Din Eved Kenani we said is mutter here, technically it would seem that it should be mutter. Nevertheless, you would have to have the conditions we had, depends who does the arranging, but it should be mutter. Nevertheless, here it says it's aser. Why it's aser, we'll see. But it says here, Din Shneihem is aser. Now, a variation of the case I just told you is this. You come to me, and you tell me, I want to buy a house, and I need a lot of money, lend me whatever, lend me $25,000, I have to buy a house. I tell you, you know what? You have a rich relative. You go to your rich relative and you tell him, if he gives you $25,000 as a gift, then I'll lend you $25,000. So it's an incentive. He'll go to his relative and he'll have, in the standard case. I'm saying, now, technically, this is din shneihem. Is the money coming from the laiva? No. It's coming from the rich relative. Is it going to the malva? No. It's not going to the malva. The quirk is that it's going to the laiva himself, which is really the same thing. It's not going to the malva, it's going to someone else. It's going to the laiva himself. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's asur. Let's see what it says. Yeshayimim, it's brought b'shem Yeshayimim. Sha'asa lay malay, emar l'playni she'in l'cha dala dinarim, ve'el v'l'cha mais. Tell Pliny, if he gives you a gift, then I'll lend you, give you a loan. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's asur, because it's din shneihem. If you look at the Gra Lamed Aleph, it says, a similar case you have in Masechtas Kedushin, where a woman says to a man, attend mana l'plaini v'kadish ani lai, give this man $100 and I'll be married to him. In other words, the giver is not the chassan, the receiver is not the kala, and it's kukudeshes medin shneim. It's a case of din shneim, and it's also the like habach. The bach asks, the bach is matir, but din shneim, the Shulchan Aruch says is also. A question is, why is it also? That's the bach's taina. Where's their ribbis? There's ribbis in that I'm giving you a loan. Where's the ribbis? Pashtus, I'm giving you the loan. I'm anas that someone else gives the money. Now, l'chayr, that's not ribbis, because we had in Sifyut Gimel that if someone else gives the money, there's no problem. Right? That's what we had in Sifyut Gimel. So l'chayr, there is no ribbis. That's the Bach's kasha. That's right. So the Bach asked, why is this awesome? If someone else is giving, we said there's no problem. So the Shach and Taz answer that. The Bach goes so far as to say it's a Torah Seifrim in the Eisrim. Look in Shach Chaf. Habach kasev de'im b'zeh shum iser. The Bach says no problem, no iser. Ella tosayfrim hu v'rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who says it's aser, it's a misprinting mistake. It's arachleim ashiit li dalad dinarim, not sheet and lay. Lashmin and dafav ishi layayim alay halay v'ten lay dalad dinarim. Kadesh ilvenu ella paisa sheet and lay dalad dinarim. Shozeh alveyu asa de nira kilu shluchay ayin shav. This is all the Bach. What the Bach's explanation on the Gea right now. The Bach says it's mutter. The Shach says, English Shabbish Asfarim Bechinam. Don't go around saying it's a tos all the time. El Taima de Milsa. He says a new Hezer. Kivan Shahamalva writes about Nasa Shliach. The person lending the $25,000 obviously wants the person to have benefits. The Chafet Shai supply the Yitan Laidal Dinarim. I'm lending him $25,000. I'd like him to buy the house. I'd like his relative to give him a gift of $25,000. And Kena Shliach Asa Loim Aloi Shin Loi Hadal Dinarim Darihu Mahane Lemalva Bishlichusai. What he says is that in this case, what is the ribbis? Not the $25,000. The ribbis is the fact that I am looking to be Mephayes Pliny to give a gift. I have an interest in Pliny giving this man a gift of $25,000. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, I'll lend you $25,000, but you have to give me something. You know what you have to give me? You have to give me that you're going to go over to Pliny and be Mephayesin to give you the money. The Laiva is actually giving something here to the Malva. Because the Laiva is saying, you know, I'm not so comfortable going to him, but look, you know, now I'm getting $2 on my dollar, so I'll do it. I'll go over to him and I'll tell him that you said that. So now I actually have an interest. Why am I doing it? Because I would like you to get the other money. So the Shach and the Taz has the same Hezber, that the reason for this Isser is because of the Etzem Pius, the Etzem convincing of the person to go to him, it's something I want. That's the Ribbis. Which is a Chiddush, that if it would be a typical Din Shneihem, it's usually a Din Shneihem where I want the Pius, but it would be a typical Din Shneihem where I lend you money, and you don't have to face anybody. The third party says, if you lend the money, I'll give somebody a gift. Well, someone says, you know, if you lend the money, I'll give tzedakah. I don't even say which tzedakah. I'll give tzedakah. So the third party says that, so then it will be mutter, because the loiva is not extending any pious at all. So then it will be mutter.
I'm saying, you know, if someone says, a machut says to a son-in-law, I'm going to lend you money to buy a house, provided your father will also throw in some money.
No, if you say, I'll lend you money if your father also lends you money, that may be different. The case here, at least, is I'll lend you money if your father gives you money, which I can picture some people saying, but the pius would still be Anna. What?
I'll give you $25,000.
I think in your typical case, what?
Give him money.
Is that a problem? It depends. Okay, I'm not sure.
The
loiva should be mefayisim. I think the idea is that the loiva is mefayisim to give. That's my understanding. What? If I go to the mechudin and I tell mechudin, listen, the kid's going to have to buy something, you pay half, I'll pay half. No, there's no loan. No, you lend half, I'll lend half.
No, that's the thing.
The expectation here...
If I lend you 25, if your father gives you 25, certainly awesome.
If I lend you 25 and you're a third party to give 25, is awesome. Question is, here it appears to be something different. It appears to be, sometimes you have to think about something to put your finger on it, but it doesn't seem that the arrangement is, what you're saying is, what you're really saying is it's fair for me to lend you half if the other side lends half. That's what you're saying. You're not saying do something extra. You're claiming, at least, it may not be true, but you're claiming that the proper thing is that I should give half and he should give half. That's what you're really saying. So I'm not sure if that's the same. I have to think about it. Maybe. So maybe you feel it's also a proper arrangement. I don't know if that's... You know, I say if everyone had as much money as everyone else said they have, then we'd be awash in money. It would be
what?
The giver is not the malva, and the receiver is not. The giver is not the loiva, and the receiver is not the malva. The receiver might be the loiva. The receiver is not the malva. Oh, that's what the Shach says. It's Aser because it's not a real Din Shneim, because the receiver is really the Malva, Achinami. That's what he's saying. He's saying it, pure Din Shneim would be Mutter. This is not a pure Din Shneim, because really... because I really want you to get another 20. I'm giving you 25,000, I'm unless you go to him. Now, if you would go to him anyway, so what's the difference?
The Malva.
So every loan is that way. So that obviously is mutter. We can't claim that that's Aser, because there's more money involved. There's not only more money. The pius itself, the fact that you're getting someone to give you the money, that itself is a... what? I think that's what the Shach is saying. Is that the Lashna Shach is not... Yeah, why?
Let's say you should extend the loan to the Eidim on the condition that you come up with another 25,000. You can ask your father, and you can ask your uncle. You come up with another.
If I don't say what he's going to do, so what you're really doing is, if you can put together the deal, I'll be a partner to the deal. I'll lend you money for the deal. Yeah, and I would think that that's better. That's not you're not designating what's being done.
But the time is Messiah. He's not repaying the loan. The loan is like.
What?
When he's guy, the same day he goes to be fired, so it's not like a really.
No, but the loan is a long-term loan. He's not going to pay back the loan until much later.
Like
if I lend you $25,000, I'm unless you give me right now a gift. That's awesome.
Is the shot there that, like the first that the Shred said, I'll give you 25, but I want your father to give you.
Okay. I believe that there. Mark, you remind me. For next week, I'll find it somewhere. I'll believe that there. I'll find the case someplace. You remind me. Yeah. I've heard them saying the same thing. All right, let's turn the page to Siftei Zayin. Siftei Zayin is a very famous sif because of the Ramah. But we have to do the Mechaba first, and then we get to a great, great kula in the Ramah. We always like coolers. Mutaloy velachaveri, helach zuz ve'emar leplayni she'alveini. This means you're allowed to pay a broker to arrange a loan. I think we all know that it's a service. So you can go to someone and tell someone, "I'll give you $100. You arrange a mortgage for me. You arrange a loan for me. Of course, you're not giving the loan, and I can't give you money to give me a loan. But you're a broker." So I give you money, I'm in thus that you should make arrangements. V'afilu leben ha-malva mutoloy mekein. Could even go to the son of the malva. Notice, tell him, please convince your father to lend me money. I'll give you $100. Now the $100 can be contingent on the law. I'm giving you $100. I'm paying you for your services that you're going to try to make arrangements of the loan. For who... V'hu shiyehei gadol ve'enei so'osoy mechal shulchan aviv. Provided... that the child is what? So misleading here. What does it mean? He has to be a gadol plus soymech al shulchan aviv, or a gadol or soymech. In other words, is it two kulis? If he's a gadol, it's mutter even if he is soymech. Or does it mean a gadol ve'inay soymech al shulchan aviv? In other words, it's mutter if it's both, or it's mutter if it's either or. That's all clear from the Shulchan Aruch. What it sounds like both. She gadol ve'einai saimach al Shulchan Aruch. You need l'chumah. You need both. So the Shach of Aleph says, "Mashma de tarvayu be'inon." It's only mutter if you have both. So it will be a gadol saimach al Shulchan Aruch. It will be aser. It will be a katan she. It's rare. You have a case of a katan she'ena saimach al Shulchan Aruch. Then it would also be aser. So this. The opinion of the Shach and the Taz. Just the Gra in Lamed Gimel brings the Rajba. He seems to pass in the rule is when the Gra brings Chayokim. Gra in Lamed Gimel, first he brings the Makar of the Shulchan Aruch, and then he says, Aval Arajan Uki Yosef Kasu, Hakol Toli B'Semech Al Shulchan Eloi, K'moi B'Metzia. That doesn't depend if he's a Gadol or a Katan. It only depends if he's Semech Al Shulchan Aviv, which is a heter for a Katan Shein Ay Semech Al Shulchan Aviv, which is a rare case. The way I understand the Isser is an Isser of Mishtar Shilei. I once mentioned that Mishtar Shilei is if I give someone money which my Malva would have had to provide otherwise. I'd just like to say that's usually we understand the Gra that way. The Gra doesn't bring down all the Rishayim who argue, so we understand it that way. The definition of Seimech al Shulchan Aviv, the way Rav Palm teached it is negate to other things. If you have a son who's in Kailul and you're supporting him, that's not called Seimech al Shulchan Aviv. Seimech al Shulchan Aviv means that the father is telling him how to spend his money. Well, some fathers do, but if he has a budget, you give him the money and he does what he wants. He buys what he wants and he sells what he wants. You know, he does what he wants with the money. What? That's not called Sunday. Up to five, yeah, well. Anyway, that's the definition of Sebech HaShulchan Aviv. It's the gay, I can yawn him, right? Gadol Sebech HaShulchan Aviv can't, according to Rabbeinu Tam, can't be kinder from his father. Father gives him a lulav, he can't be kinder, according to many paiskim. But if he's on his own, then he could be kinder from his father. Sometimes we tumble about this regarding the chasen ring. If the father bought the ring, if the chassan bought the ring, chassan bought the ring, whoever's money he used, it doesn't matter. It's didn't have a knani. If he used someone else's money, it could be kind of something. But if the father bought the ring, the father gives it to the son. If you hold like a Reino Tam, that the son is, assuming the son is a God La Samech HaShulchan Aviv, so you give him the ring. So the Kireg and Machne Ephraim hold that your father can't give something to his son. It's the same yad. It's like transferring from one hand to another. You can't do a kinyan that way. The father gives it to the son. So you know, it's a questionable thing. What the question? The heter either is that we don't really pass the Rabbeinu Tam, or that the chassan. The chassan under the chuppah is always asked. The Besar Kedushin asks two things that say in halacha. One is the ring worth a pruta. That's what he asks, is the ring worth a pruta. And the purpose in asking that is the kala should hear that it only has to be worth a pruta. If she thinks it's very expensive, it's less expensive, it shouldn't be a Safek Kedushin, that's worth a pruta. Not the diamond ring. The ring. And the second thing, the diamond ring is totally irrelevant to halacha. And the second thing he asks is it your ring? And presumably, if it's not his ring, if he didn't buy it, he's going to make a kinyan right there. Under the chuppah, is the chas is still considered to be in his father's house? Ramesh has an interesting tshuva. I have a boy in my shir is getting married December 14th, which is Hanukkah. So he asked me, where do I light the menorah that night? Do I light my parents' house still? Or do I light in my new apartment? He's getting married. First he asked me when to light. I told him, you know, you have to go home, bet his man, and light. So what do you mean? The photographer wants me to be there at 3 o'clock. He says, very good. At 4:30, which is Shkia, you go home, and you light the menorah, and you come back. He says, what? I said, your father's going to do it anyway. He says, my father, he's not going to light till... He said, no, you got to light. Ramesh Shagrada has a tshuva about a chosm.
You might light from far.
He could lie for plaque, but the Grada Ramesh has a tshuva about a chosm. So no, you gotta lie. Ramesh Grada has a tshuva about a chosm. He could lie for plaque, but the Grada Ramesh has a tshuva about a chosm. You think so? Anyway, let's say he can't go home. It's a big shasat chak. He can't go home. He's going to get make sure and buy his problems. So I would tell him, all right, you light whenever you get home at night. You light. So Ramesh has a tshuva about a chosn. Where does he live? Does he live in the place where he lived at Shkia, which is before he got married? Where does he live once he's at the chasna hall? So he already lives in the place he's going. So you should light in the chuppah room. Yeah, I think so. The Ramosha's psak is that once he goes to the wedding, he's out of his father's house, and he lives wherever he's headed to. I don't know if he means when he goes for the pictures, but certainly once he gets to the chuppah, he's Iker. And no, if he is, so he lies at his father's house. It's a shaila. Still where he lives. It never was like. But okay. The question of Samach Shulchan Yisrael is a very complicated one. I don't. Gedolei Eretz Yisrael and Gedolei Chutz La'aretz have very different shittas about what's called living in Eretz Yisrael. Gedolei Eretz Yisrael is such chibas Eretz Yisrael that if somebody turns his nose a little, like he might want to live there, bang, you live in Eretz Yisrael. They're very quick. We had a Rashiv in Tarvid Das, Reb Reuven Fein, Olam HaShalom. He was Muslim in Bayas 20 years. And why did he come to America? Because he needed, for purely financial reasons. He wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael all his life. But he didn't have any parnasa. And then he had a child who had needed medical attention, needed the money. And that's why he was asking to come to Tarvid Das. He came to Tarvid Das, and every Yom Tif he went back to Eretz Yisrael. But he was here the whole time. And he kept one day Yom Tif. And every Yom Tif, Rapam would tell him, it's a Pella. He has a job here. He's here all year. He has Talmidim here already for 15 years. He said, no, that's what the Eretz Yisrael told him. So he really wants to be in Eretz Yisrael. He still has his apartment in Eretz Yisrael. His family is there. No, so he's only here temporarily. He was here for the rest of his life, you know. Living in Eretz Yisrael, the Echaluk Hedei is what's called. I'm not going to get into it. All right, let me just tell you the Ramah. We're going to learn the Ramah next week. I want to introduce you. There's something called Hetera Derashi. Hetera Derashi, the Ramah says, not to be Mefarsim. The Samsaifa says, Adarabba, be Mefarsim. Why? We'll see why. But let me tell you this. The case of Heteira de Rashi, and it's a loophole. It's not a Rashi in Rashi. It's a Rashi quoted in the Maisa of Rashi that's quoted in the Mardukai and others. Maisa de Rashi, the following loophole in Hilchis Ribis. If you want, I'll tell you the story, the way this once came up to me, and we'll discuss next week whether I was right or I was wrong. But Maisa Shoya Kachai, we were down here, three gentlemen came to meet with me. They're people grounded, don't live in Flatbush, they're from far away, they're from a different neighborhood. They told me right away, they're running to Rabbanim everywhere for a heter. Maisa Shoya Kachai. Ruvain, and these are people who are friends, or at least were friends before this deal started. Ruvain had a business deal. He had actually inside information. It was probably illegal, but that's a separate story. He had inside information. The government was going to seize certain land, and he desired to purchase the land because he knew that the government would be paying whatever money they pay based not on the actual value but on their things. And this land was available cheap. It was just land that out in Jersey that was not being used. Highway we built through it, they would be paying. So he was interested. He didn't have enough capital. So he told his accountant, you know, I have this deal. Find me somebody that's willing to kick in the other half of the money, and we'll split the profit. So the accountant got a hold of somebody. And this somebody was glad to happen to be an old friend of mine from my yeshiva days, whose father is a wealthy man. So this somebody said, you know, so it sounds like a good deal, I'm in. He spoke to his father. His father came back. He said, I'm only willing to do it if the money is guaranteed. So the other person said, I'm willing to guarantee it. You know, they were doing it on his say-so. He said, I'll guarantee the money. I'll guarantee the ribbis. I think he guaranteed everything. So the fellow went back to his father. He got the money. He gave him the money. Fine. Everything went through. They made a lot of money. The issue, I think, was $600,000, not the capital, the profit for this half a year of laying out money. I think it was 600. I don't remember if the 600,000 was going to be split. It was 300. I think the 600,000 was his half, I think. Then the businessman found out that what he did was ribbis. What he did was ribbis. He guaranteed the money. So he told him, you know, I really want to give you the $600,000, but I can't. And if there's a heter, I want. I think he genuinely felt bad. I mean, he must have felt a little good to have another $600,000. But he genuinely said, if it's mutter for me to do it, I'll do it. If it's aser, it's aser. So this fellow now is in an awkward position with his father. It was guaranteed, Dr. C. And now, he can't do it. His father is an older European Yid. He doesn't know from this thing. You know, he says, what are you talking about? So this fellow, this son, was mamish caught in a very difficult position. So they had in their shtar that they had made that Rav Bick was their... if they have any disagreements, they go to Rav Bick. So they went to Rav Bick, and Rav Bick said, it's ribbis. Rav Bick told them, you know, Hilchus ribbis is very complicated. If you come up with some angle of heter, a way to do this, I'm willing to listen to it, maybe I'll be masking. So here they were. They were grabbed in Lakewood by the Paiskim, and finally, you know, I wrote the Ribbis book, so they came to me. And they're talking about it. I said, listen, I think I have a heter, but you're going to have to go back to Rav Bick and ask him. I told him that Heteira de Rashi. You know what I'm talking about. So they couldn't do that. They had to hear it. So Heteira de Rashi is this. When you have a middleman in between. The actual lender and the actual borrower never spoke to each other. The Torah de Rashi is the following. I tell you, I need money. I'm willing to pay interest. The Torah says I can't. So I tell you, you arrange a loan for me. So you go, and let's say the person's a Rasha. Reuven tells Shimon, I want to borrow Beribis. Find me somebody. So Shimon goes to Levi. He says, you know, I have someone who wants to borrow Beribis. Could you lend the money? And Levi's also, let's say, he's also a Rasha. He's willing to lend Beribis. So he lends the money, he gives the money to Shimon, and Levi and Reuven never spoke. He gives the money to him, and he brings the money to him. So it's Rashi, Reuven could pay ribbis to Levi, no problem. Why? What's the whole Indian here? Reuven and Levi are not Malvin Levi. Josh Shluch Hashad of Kamaisai, the middleman is a Shliach. So Rashi, ain't Shliach with Dvar Aveira. Shlichus is not called for a Dvar Aveira. Reuven's obligation to Levi doesn't exist. You can't make a if you make a Shliach to do an Aveira for you, then the Divrei Rav, Divrei Atam, and Divrei Mishaimin. It's not Chal. It's as if, since Reuven never obligated himself to Levi, Reuven only obligated himself to Shimon. He didn't obligate himself to Shimon, he just told Shimon to make arrangements. So it comes out that when Shimon went to Levi, there was no loan obligation. There's no loan here from Reuven to Levi. Reuven's not the Levi. Levi's not the Malva. So since Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, so the whole arrangement is not Chal. So now, the original Malva could give $600,000 to the original... The original Leiva could give $100,000 to the original Malva. No problem. What's the problem? A nice chap. And Rashi says, seems to say, he could do a chetchila. I could go over here. I'm not a Rasha. I say, listen, I need a loan. I'm willing to pay interest. I'm not allowed to. You be my shliach and shine. What? Did the... So we're going to have to talk about that. But who was the son was in the contract, not the father. The son was doing the arrangement. This is a very, you can see the size of the Ramah, but this is a very controversial heter. And the Mitzvah Hashem, I like when I say things at the end of a shiur, because then I say it again next week. You heard it twice. So what? Rav Bick was not masking, and you'll see. We'll see why. Okay. At least I heard he wasn't masking. I don't know the answer.
I don't understand. We say in Sich Dvar Aveira, you assume there was a Dvar Aveira, but in Sich Dvar Aveira.
But that's what happens. Sich Dvar Aveira.
And this boy,
I'm really proud of. But he doesn't want to give him. So what do parents do? This happens all the time. They say, listen, give him a candy. Tomorrow I'll give you a whole pack. That's what parents say. Give him a candy. Tomorrow I'll give you a whole pack of candy. Is that really? If you give him today, of course it's a loan. If you give him, I say, lend me a dozen eggs today, I'll give you 2 dozen eggs tomorrow. Isn't that ridiculous?
It is Mamal Malayva.
I'll tell you why. He wants to say a heter the following. We are going to have a heter that I could give you money that you should lend my son. Let's say my son wants to buy a house. So I have circumstances, we'll get to the details, I can give you money to lend him. In other words, if it's not memavel alive, if the payment is not from the borrower, it's mutter. I have situations with people, they come to me, they have a ribbis problem. And they owe ribbis to a fryer person, and they don't know what to do. They have to go tell them, sorry, I'm from Yid, it's ribbis, I can't give you the money. What do I do? So what I usually do, if it's a small amount of money, I just pay it. I send the money. And usually the guy, the person gives it back to me. I can't make up, he'll give it back to me. Okay. Sometimes it's thousands of dollars. So I recently had the case, his graduate with somebody who's a Rebbe here in one of the local yeshivas. So I called his brother-in-law, who I know. I said, you know, your brother-in-law has problems with ribbis. He owes this place, he didn't know it's a ribbis shayla, he owes them $2,000. If you pay it for him, he'll be off the hook. I'll give you the account number. And you know, he had a credit card that was a ribbis problem. So the brother-in-law paid, no problem. Ribbis is only also memavel alive. So you're arguing that I'm telling him give the candy to the other son and I'll give you. That's not true. Who's the borrower here? I'm saying son A, give it to son B. Son B is not the life. Son B is not going to pay son A back. I'm the life. I'm saying you, I'm really saying lend it to, I'm the borrower. I'm taking achrayus to give it back to you. I'm the borrower. Give it to him. I'll pay it back to you. Plus I'll give you a whole pack. It would seem, Bashkafer Ishaina, what do you know, that's a ribbis problem. It doesn't seem to be a ribbis problem. I feel the bottom of the day, so I
tell him I'd like to give you a full day tomorrow, but I can't.
My kids, you see, say. No? Anybody have episode parents? A yeshiva on this?
I don't understand. Why is the parent the borrower? The son who's lending doesn't care where he's
good.
Candy from, doesn't care if the other
son. That's right. But who's taking achrayus for the loan? Again, I want you to know a rule we're going to have all over ribbis. The loiva is the one who has liability. Liability defines the loiva. Liability means that your bottom line, you now are a balchayv. If you tell a child, you should know the davar chomer b'yad, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Abbas Chesed that people tell a child, "Do this for me, I'll give you a soda." I tell him, "If you go to the store, I'll give you a soda." You should know it's a davar chomer b'yad. You owe him the soda. The Torah requires b'yayim ha'titim scharay. You have to give it to him that day. Now with a gadol, you could say, "Listen, it's hard for me to do today. I'll do it tomorrow. Be meichel. It can be meichel. It can't be meichel. Labra mechilu." If you tell a child, it happens in camp all the time. Whatever you tell him, b'yayim ha'titim scharay. It's a davar chomer. If you tell a child, "Do this and I'll reward you." If originally you say, I'll reward you when I have time, and when I get around to it, that's fine. But if you stop and say, "Do this, I'll buy you a soda." So you have to buy the soda that day. And one second, getting back to the Rebbe Shaila, if you tell a son, give it to the other son, I'll pay you back, you are a life. You're mechuyev al pi din to pay back. It's no different than if you borrowed din pruta k'din mana. If you borrowed $1,000 from someone, you have to pay him back. If you borrow candy, it's your own son, he's 3 years old, you still have a full prayer obligation to pay him back. No different. He's your son, he's not your son. You have to pay him back. What? So we already had that. Let's say I say, "Give me a matana today of $1,000, and in 2 months I'll give you a matana of $2,000. That's ribbis. That's ribbis. If you give me a gift of $1,000, I'll give you a gift of $2,000. Even if you say believe that, yeah. The only limud schus I had is, I don't think it's so, but probe the mind of the father. The father says, "If you give him a candy today, I'll give you two tomorrow." If he's really not rewarding alone, he's rewarding the mida taiva of the child, then that's good. But if it's not mida taiva, then you don't give him a candy and he gets back two tomorrow.